Do you have a purpose this morning? If so, what is it? And if not, why not? Let us bow our heads for prayer. Our dearest Lord, I want to thank you for the opportunity to be able to stand before your people this morning. Lord, I want to ask that you would empty me of me, Lord, and that you would fill me with you and your Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that the worries and the cares and the frustrations and all the things that have been going through our minds over this past week, Lord, would be pushed to the side, Lord, and that we may hear a word from you and from your word today. And this is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's open the word this morning to the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke. And while you're doing that, I want to ask you a couple of questions. What gives you purpose in life? What really gives your life the get up and... What is it that motivates you? Is there anything, brothers and sisters? The scripture is full of people whose lives were not what you would call easy. You only have to open the word and start flipping through and you start seeing people who were struggling with various things. They may not have had very fulfilling lives, some of them. Not really rewarding, you would say. Some of them were stuck in a rut and they were really focused on themselves. Does that sound like anyone you know that lives around you or maybe yourself? The scripture also contains many examples of people who were outcasts. We think of people such as the lepers, the blind, the deaf, the mute, the crippled, the prostitutes, the tax collectors. All of these were considered outcasts or very low in the scheme of things. But why is it that God chose to include so many examples for us in his holy word? Question we should ask ourselves. Why does God put all those stories and tell us about all those outcasts, all those people that society just wanted to walk by on the other side of the road or not even pay attention to, not even raise their eyes to look at? The answer is very simple. Three words, in fact. Are you ready for it? Three words. All of those things were there to glorify God. So let's begin to develop this idea. And let's begin in chapter 17 of Luke. So Luke chapter 17, and we're going to begin looking at this in verse 11. Luke chapter 17 and verse 11. I'm reading from the New King James Version. It says, "Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. As they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.'" So we have 10 lepers, outcasts if there were ever outcasts. Do you know what happened to someone who got leprosy during the Bible times? There was a number of things that took place. First of all, they were forced to leave their homes. They were forced to leave their loved ones. They were considered to be cursed of God. And the reason for the curse was considered to be sin. Something in their life, something that was taking place within them, or something they had done in the past, had caused them to have this leprosy, this condition. They were cut off from the temple. Can you imagine not being allowed to go in and worship God because of a disease? They were to shave their heads, to rent clothes. You see, people with leprosy experience disfigurement of the skin and bones, twisting of the limbs and curling of the fingers to form the characteristic claw hand. Facial changes, including thickening of the outer ear and collapsing of the nose, were other things that went along with it. Can you imagine with me, try to put yourself in a person with leprosy in their place. And can you imagine with me someone like that who had a family, who had a wife, who had children, and who were not able to hold their children or to be close to their loved ones because they were cast aside. They were outcasts. And can you imagine having to cry everywhere you went, unclean, unclean, so that everyone knew that you were a leper and to stay away, because leprosy, you see, was a contagious disease. Let's look at verse 14 and onward. So when he saw them, he said to them, "Go show yourself to the priests." And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he, scriptures says, was a Samaritan. So what did the Samaritan leper do when he was healed? Did you catch that in verse 15? Take a look at it. What did he do when he was healed? What does it say? And with a loud voice, he glorified God. That's right. And you and I, brothers and sisters, we're not lepers, but we are sinners. Isn't that right? For the scripture says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." And we, brothers and sisters, are in need of salvation. Amen? We need it. Without it, there's no hope. But let me ask you something. Do you think that that leper who was healed, do you think that he and forgot about what Jesus had done for him? No, I don't think so. Definitely not. I believe that he told everyone that he met what Jesus had done for him. He shouted it from the rooftops. He instilled it in his children. "I'm here with you, my wife and my children, because Jesus touched me, changed my life, healed me. I'm no longer what I used to be. Now I'm something much better, and it's all thanks to Jesus." And he glorified God, the scripture says. He would have plastered it on his Facebook page. He would have Twittered about it and emailed all of his friends and neighbors. You get the idea? This was a miracle. This was a joy. It was something to celebrate. And most of all, something to share. But what about us? Have we been saved by through faith in Jesus? What do you think? Have we been? Amen, we sure have. Has your life been changed? It sure has. Are you blessed? You know, when we look around and we think, we hear the prayer requests, and we hear the struggles that some people go through in their lives, and when we look at our own lives, we realize that we are so blessed. We don't live in a country that where people are taking up guns and walking through the streets necessarily. You never know, it might come. But we don't live there now. We don't live in places like the Middle East that are constantly in war and fighting, with people dying. We are blessed. Are you a child of the King this morning? Amen? Yes. Then why do we keep it to ourselves? Why do we hide it under a bushel, as the children's song says? Why are we afraid to let our friends know? And why are we afraid to speak to our families about it? Do you have a purpose? And are you willing to share it, brothers and sisters? Do you have a purpose? And are you willing to share it? Nick, the gentleman that we watched the little video on there, he has a purpose and he isn't afraid to share it. That was just a bit of a history and a background to his life. But if you were to go onto YouTube or onto Life Without Limbs, you can see other videos about what he's doing now. He shares his story with elementary children. And you know, sometimes we think that, you know, I can't relate to those people. Those kids are too young. How can I talk to them? Or maybe it's the little bit older kids that we struggle with, the teenage years and all those struggles. How can I speak to someone like that? Or maybe for some of us, we have a difficult time maybe sitting down and talking with an elderly person. Or maybe with someone with a disability. Or maybe it just really makes us nervous about going into a prison and speaking with maybe murderers or other people that have committed these crimes. Well, he shares the story with elementary kids, and I'm telling you, I've watched a number of the videos, and he connects with those kids. They really connect with him. But he gets to share with them about why he is like he is and who made him that way. Because it wasn't always good for him. And he struggled a lot through the years. He shares his story with high school students. And it's amazing to see these high school students as he talks about peer pressure, as he talks about premarital sex, as he talks about so many other things, and you see them tearing up because they realize and they see in him someone who is going through and has gone through some of the things that they're dealing with right now in their lives. He shares with university students. He shares with prisoners. That's the most amazing little clip I've ever seen. Here he is preaching the word of God in prison. These criminals, these people that are in all these horrible crimes, and they're up to him with tears in their eyes, thanking him. And they're thanking him for coming to share with them. He shares in churches. In one occasion, he was in a rather large church, and he made a call for the people who had been parts, or were parts, rather, of gangs. And of the such. And he called them forward and asked them to lay down their knives or their guns or their weapons or anything like that. And people came forward. I'm not saying all this because this man is better than anyone else by any means. And you'll see that as we go. But he shares around the world because Jesus changed him. Jesus changed him from what he was and the way his mind thought about things to what he is now and the way he sees the overall picture. He lets them know. It sounds simple. He lets people know, everyone that he can know, that they are loved. How many people he loved? Everyone needs to know they're loved. And you know, there's a lot of people out there that don't know that. And the whole purpose for Jesus coming to this earth was to show people that he loved them. That's what it was about. It was to spread that love and to say, I love you, regardless of anyone else doesn't, I love you. It's just what Jesus did, isn't it? He lets them know that they're special. Is it nice to hear those words? You're special. You're special. You're unique. You're a person that I value. These are things that everyone needs to hear. And yet there are people out there that don't get to hear it. Jesus did the same, didn't he? He did it with the lepers. He touched them. He spent time with them. He healed them. He did it with Mary Magdalene, didn't he? He forgave her. And so many others. And finally, he lets them know that his hope, his reason for living, and the joy that he has in him, every joy that he has, comes from Jesus Christ. What a testimony. Where is your joy coming from this morning, brothers and sisters? And is it something worth sharing with your friends, your neighbors, your family? Is it something worth sharing? Then let's move over two chapters in the book of Luke. We want to look at chapter 19 now. And in chapter 19, we're met with another outcast. In the Jewish culture, you see, a tax collector was considered almost worse than a leper. Can you imagine? This person that, like I just described, that had to go around saying, unclean, unclean. And the tax collector, the Jewish tax collector, also called the tolone, was considered almost worse than a leper. Most of them, they say, were shysters. They took more than Rome required so that they could pack pockets. These were Jews employed by the Romans. In the book Jewish Antiquities, we learn a bit more about the Jewish tax collector. These Talonai were civilian contractors who tendered for the task of gathering direct and indirect taxes in and on behalf of the Herodian and Roman administrations. Oversight of the tax collectors was in the hands of the Roman governor or provincial procurator. There was no standard method of valuing goods at that time. The tax collectors assessed that himself. The system clearly was thus open to abuse and exploitation of the vulnerable, and it is hardly surprising that the Jews of Jesus' time regarded tax collectors as beyond the pall, as they say. With that background, let's begin reading in verse 1. Verse 1 of chapter 10. Then Jesus entered, passed through Jericho. Behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was not only a tax collector, but what does the scripture say? He was a chief tax collector. So he had other tax collectors working under him. And he was rich. Verse 3. And he sought to see who Jesus was. But he could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully, it says. But when they saw it, they all murmured, saying, He has gone to be a guest with the man who is a sinner. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, Lord, look, Lord, I give half of all goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. And Jesus said to him, Today salvation has come to this house, because he is also a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Did you notice something, brothers and sisters? What happened when Jesus made the effort to befriend Zacchaeus? What did the scriptures tell us? Did Zacchaeus thank him and serve him a nice potluck meal and send him away? No. That's not what happened at all. Something changed, you see, in Zacchaeus. It started in his mind, but brothers and sisters, it didn't stay there, did it? Then it became action. How many of us today can think of many ways of touching lives for Jesus? How many of us can down and brainstorm fabulous programs, reaching out? How many of us have thought of what to say to a loved one or family member, only to then keep it all inside for the fear of offending or bothering someone? So how do we take it to the next level? How do we bring the thoughts that we are thinking into the practical life, into a way that can be a blessing to those around us? Do you have a purpose? If so, what is it? If not, why not? You see, it begins in your heart and mind. So why are we Christians? That's a good question to ask, isn't it? Is it so that we feel like we can belong? No, that's not it. Is it so that we can appear to be better than others? We're definitely missing the point if we feel that way. Because Jesus Christ paid the price of my sin and yours, and he's called each of us to be ambassadors to each and every person that we come in contact with. Why do we come to church? Is it because we have nothing better to do? I hope not. Is it because we grew up doing it and it's become a tradition? And so week to week, every Sabbath, we enter the church and we sit down in the same spot And we're here because it's tradition. God forbid. Do you even know? Do we even know why we come to church? Or is it that as Christians, we need fellowship? We need fellowship with fellow Christians so that we can encourage, support, pray for, and help prepare each other for the task of sharing the faith that we have and the hope that is ours in Christ Jesus. You may be thinking, well, easy for you to say, you're a trained minister. I want to level with you this morning. As you know, I'm not in full-time ministry anymore. I had more opportunities and time to share with people now than I ever had as a minister. That may shock some of you, but it's true. As a minister, the responsibilities, the programs, the problems, the pressures many times limit the opportunities and wear someone down to the extent where they have a difficult time being able to share this amazing Jesus with people. So I understand. But why do we do it to ourselves? Why do we allow the devil to control our tongues and our actions? I say enough is enough. Jesus is coming back. Do you believe that? And he's coming back soon. And I know you've heard that. You've heard it for years and years. People say, Jesus is coming back soon. All you got to do is look around you. But brothers and sisters, we can't take that and just say, oh, that's just something that people say. Because Jesus is coming back soon. And he's wanting to take you and me home to be with him in heaven. You know, many of us, I'm not sure, are ready. What do you think? Have we surrendered our all? Are we hanging on to the world? Are we more concerned about getting that right job or making that certain amount of money? Are those our goals? Are those the things that really drive us? And many of us need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The question is, do we want it? Are we ready for it? You see, Zacchaeus was ready to make the changes necessary for his life so that he could better reflect Jesus, his master. The Samaritan leper offered all the glory to God, and I believe shouted his experience from the rooftops. Nick, the man we watched a little video on, the man with no arms and no legs, once depressed, feeling like life wasn't worth living, found a purpose in his relationship and connection to Jesus Christ and in sharing hope to a world without hope. Go, isn't it? Share hope, world without hope. God has blessed him with a ministry that touches lives. And if you can believe it, since he was younger, as he was being interviewed, he was talking about his life as he was moving forward. And he looked forward like any other young person to finding that special someone that he would marry and that he would have a life with. And he talked about wanting to have children. Guess what? In February, Nick got married. Wonderful Japanese-American woman. And they're very happy together. And guess what? Either this month or next month, they're expecting their first little boy. Pretty amazing. God is so good. You know, I want us to think about this, though. There's nothing amazing about the Samaritan leper. And there's nothing amazing about Zacchaeus, per se. And Nick will tell you himself. He says it over again as you watch the videos. There's nothing amazing about Nick. But he will tell you that Jesus is amazing. He is our salvation. He is our strength. He is our high tower. He is our high priest. He is our God. Amen? He was the purpose for Zacchaeus' willingness to change his life and make things right with those he had cheated. He was the purpose for the leper who was healed and the life of glorifying God that ensued. He is the purpose for a man with no arms and no legs, touching lives, planting seeds, and seeing results. Do you have a purpose? If so, I hope it's Jesus and the sharing of his soon return with everyone that you meet. If not, why not accept him and see what he will accomplish through you? Don't limit what Jesus can do through you.